Just like to thank Dr. Douglas for the words of welcome, and it is a joy to be here this evening with you to bring to you a message in the gospel. This is a very nice church to come to with all these suppers you have. It's not every church that the preacher gets a supper, but it's a joy to be here, and I trust that we will have a time of fellowship, not only now, but in a few moments' time as we have a cup of tea together. Will you turn with me, please, in the Word of God to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to commence to read at the first verse, please. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. So when you find a place, we will read together from 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Let us now hear the word of God. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And then the opening words of verse 21, and I want to use these as the basis of my message tonight. Very solemn words. I feel very appropriate words for the meeting tonight. Listen to these words very, very carefully. Give attention to them now. Do thy diligence to come before winter. And we will end there, and we trust that the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his own precious word for Jesus' sake. Now we'll bow for a moment in prayer. We need the help of God. Let's earnestly pray, each and every one of us. Let's pray for a gracious outpouring of God's Spirit in this meeting tonight. Our Father, we thank Thee once again for the privilege of continuing on before Thee in prayer. We thank Thee for this season of the year, and we praise Thee for every good thing that our loving Heavenly Father freely bestows upon all the sons of men. We praise Thee for the sun. We praise Thee for the rain, the showers. We thank Thee, Lord, for the increase of the field. We praise Thee for raiment and all the temporal blessings that we receive from Thy gracious hand. And we just say, to God be the glory, great things He have done. But more especially, we thank Thee for all those spiritual blessings that the Lord freely bestows upon those who know Christ the Saviour. We thank Thee for sending Thy Son into this sin-cursed world. We thank Thee that He came willingly, freely. We thank Thee for the life that He lived while upon earth. We praise Thee for the death that He died. We praise Thee that it was an atoning death. We praise Thee that He was buried, but the third day, by the power of God, He was raised from the dead. He ascended up into the presence of God in the sight of His disciples. And thank God, now He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And we praise Thee that the promise is He's coming again. Oh God, we thank Thee for the hope of the church, that Jesus Christ is coming again. O God, our Father, in the light of that tonight, we pray that men and women in this house might prepare to meet God. May they realize, O God, that time is swiftly passing by. And dear Lord, we're all going down the valley one by one. Our faces are towards the setting of the sun. We're all going down the valley one by one. And we all will come to meet God. O God, our Father, may everyone here tonight meet Him in Christ. Then it will be well with all of our souls. Lord, bless us now this evening. Send help from heaven, I humbly pray. Anoint my lips with, Lord, the help and the enabling of the Spirit. Give me power to preach Christ. And as men leave tonight, and women leave, young people leave, may they go away all been able to say, yea, He is altogether lovely. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine can never fail. Words that Thou Thyself shall give me must and shall prevail. Lord, send help tonight. Bless me and bless us. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. The opening words of verse 21, the words that I want to use as the basis of my message tonight. Do thy diligence to come before winter. The title for the message is a very simple title. Hurry up, winter's coming. Hurry up, winter's coming. The Glen of Weeping was the name given to Glencoe in Scotland after the terrible massacre there in the year 1692. The chief of the MacDonald clan, a man called MacIan, was a very proud and stubborn old man. The English government had issued a proclamation calling upon all rebel chiefs to take the oath of allegiance to King William III before the 1st of January 1692. All who failed to do so would be treated as rebels and would be punished accordingly. The chiefs of the various clans, knowing that failure to take the oath would be fatal, signed allegiance to William before the time expired. Proud MacIan, boasting that he would be the last to do so, put it off until the last day of the year, the 31st of December. When he realised that he must appear in person before a magistrate in Inverary to take the oath, the awful folly of his delay suddenly dawned upon him. The task was now impossible before the expiry date, for the mountains he had to cross were covered with snow and were almost impassable. But with great courage and feverish haste, the old man set out on his arduous task. Exhausted, he eventually struggled into Inverary on the 4th of January. Unfortunately for him, the day of grace had passed. He was too late. The governor of Scotland hated MacIan. In fact, he hated the whole MacDonald clan. And when news was passed on to him that MacIan had not submitted at the appointed time, he secretly rejoiced and determined on the destruction of the whole MacDonald clan. Treachery and deceit marked the whole ruthless clan. A few weeks later, 120 soldiers led by a Captain Campbell arrived at Glencoe, appearing friendly and partaking of the hospitality of the MacDonalds. They remained there for 2 weeks. Then, one cold February morning of snow and gale, the fatal blow fell. MacIan was shot dead. His wife suffered a similar fate. And all 38 of the MacDonalds were slain in cold blood on that grim, cold February morning. Only the darkness and the blizzard enabled some to escape to tell this particular story. The solemn lesson of that fateful morning can be summed up in two words. Too late. Too late. Too late. I think there is a spiritual lesson to be gleaned here also. especially in relation to the salvation of your never-dying soul. Perhaps there's someone here tonight and you are making the same mistake spiritually. Same mistake that old proud man made so long ago. You are procrastinating. If this is the case, I would appeal to you in particular to give careful attention to the words of my text. Do thy diligence to come, that is, to come to Christ before winter. The Apostle Paul wrote these particular words shortly before his death. At the time he was a prisoner in Rome, and he was anxious to see young Timothy, a young faithful preacher of the gospel, a young man that he loved as a son, hence these words of our text, in a literal sense. He wanted to see him before it was too late. However, I want to lift these words out of their proper context, out of their proper setting, and I want to use them as the basis of my message in the gospel tonight. Do thy diligence to come to Christ before winter. The harvest season is a time of reaping, time of rejoicing. But following hard in the heels of the harvest comes the long, dark winter nights. Now apply that spiritually. There's a harvest coming at the end of the world, when there will be a gracious ingathering of the redeemed of God, and at the same time a gathering in of the ungodly to appear before God. And for those who die out of Christ without having preparation made, a very long, dark winter of eternity. So in the light, in this light, my appeal to you is very simple. Hurry up, winter's coming. There are three things I want to draw to your attention from our text this evening. First of all, there is the appeal Paul makes here. He says, do thy diligence to come. And this was an appeal of a father figure to one who was separated from him. A great distance separated these two individuals in the story. The Apostle Paul was in Rome, a great distance from his friend and young fellow minister in the gospel, Timothy. Paul therefore sought a reunion. He wanted to meet Timothy again before it was too late, hence the appeal of our text. So the Apostle Paul simply wanted Timothy to come to him. And let me say at the very onset tonight, as a preacher of the gospel, I have an urgent message to bring to you. It's a message from the Word of God. It is an appeal. It is a call of the Spirit of God in the light of revelation, and the Spirit of God is calling you to come to Christ, to settle it once and for all, to get right with God and to be saved. And as Paul called Timothy to come to Christ, so the Bible calls upon men and women to repent. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That is the message of the evangelical prophet in the Old Testament. That is the message of Isaiah. Remember the time when Zacchaeus came looking for Christ. We're told that there was a crowd who stood in his way. He was a small man and he couldn't see for the press. And those who gathered around that little seeking man were hindering him from getting to Christ. And if we could use the crowd as a type of your sin, it prevents you getting to Christ. When the people of Israel came to the river of Jordan, that was the barrier that prevented them getting into the promised land. But what did the Lord do? The Lord performed a tremendous miracle. And thank God he came and he divided the Jordan asunder, with the result that the people passed through on dry land. Your sins have separated between you and your God. But by the power of sovereign grace at the cross, God's dear Son dealt the death blow to sin and Satan by offering to God a sacrifice to make an atonement for sin and for sinners. And by virtue of his blood, there's a way open up to God tonight.
from the dark paths of sin by virtue of the sacrifice offered at Calvary. There's a way back to God. It begins at the cross. For at the cross, God dealt with sin. Christ dealt with sin. And thank God, by faith, if you look to Him tonight, you can be saved. And you can know the joy of God's great forgiveness. I think now about two sisters many years ago who had a fallout over something frivolous. And sometimes people fall out over frivolous things. But they had a fallout over frivolous things, with the result that they were separated for years. They didn't speak to one another. They didn't acknowledge one another when they met each other on the street. Hardness and a difference crept in until one of their husbands died. And I was in the house that evening when the brother of the home went out and brought the other sister in to be at the side of her grieving sister. I was there when the door opened. And I could see the woman as she looked around to see who was coming, and tears just began to stream down her face. And the sister was in tears as well. And they stood up and they embraced one another in the very middle of that little dining room. And they embraced one another. They were reconciled. They've been the best of friends ever since. But it took the death of a loved one to bring them together. And on the cross, God's dear Son, the bleeding Lamb of God, died that we might be reconciled to God. And thank God His blood was shed that we might be reconciled to loving, gracious, Heavenly Father. It is the death of Christ that reconciles sinners to God. It is through His work alone. It is through the redemption He has purchased by the sacrifice of Himself that you can be saved. Not through good works or anything that you can do or achieve through your own merit. It's the gift of God. And the gift of God comes freely to us. But it costs Christ His life's blood. And thank God there are many here tonight who have been reconciled, who are rejoicing in God's great salvation. Do thy diligence to come to Christ before it's forever too late. I love that little word, come. I think the first reference to that word come is in the book of Genesis, and the word may be found over 600 times in the Word of God, and it's found in the great gospel setting. It is the story of Noah, and it is the provision that God made for His people in that particular time. And God said to Noah, I want you to build an ark. And then, if you will be aware of this, the ark is a wonderful type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that ark was finished, speaking to us of the finished work of Christ, when the ark was finished, God invited Noah and his family to come into the ark. And He said, come now and all thy house into the ark. What a gracious invitation that was to enter into the ark. And the whole family went in. Oh, may your family be in tonight. Young man, are you saved? Your mum and dad are trusting Christ. They're praying for you. What about you, young woman? You've broken your heart, the heart of your mum and dad, on many occasions. But they're praying for you. They love you. They want to see you saved. What about it tonight? Will you not come to Him? The invitation is, come thou and all thy house into the ark. The work's finished. When Christ died on the cross, what did He say? Yes, He uttered seven statements when He came to die. But remember how He cried with a loud voice, it is finished! Hallelujah! The work's done! The invitation is extended, and you can come tonight because Christ has died. And Noah accepted that invitation by faith. He took a simple step and he entered into the ark. And his wife went in. And his sons went in. And his daughter-in-laws went in. And God shut the door. Then the judgment fell. Can you imagine how those people must have felt when the rain started to come and the waters began to rise? They realized now that there was something in the message God's servant had preached, but it was too late. The door was closed. The opportunity was gone. They would never now have an opportunity to enter in and be saved. And the water's getting higher. And the judgment of God is fierce. And they're beginning to realize they're going to perish. And many did perish. And they were lost.
Those who entered in by faith, entered into what the ark typifies, entered into Christ, were saved when the judgment came. They were depending on the blood. Hallelujah. When the wrath of God was poured out, they were trusting in the finished work. And in trusting in the finished work, they were saved. In the light of this, do thy diligence to come before winter. Come. The ark had a door. It had only one door. It didn't have two or three doors. Many doors in this beautiful building. Door here. Plenty of doors. In the ark there was one door. There's only one way to God. There's only one window in the ark. It wasn't in a position where the people could look out and see the judgment, but it was in a position where the people were forced to look up to behold the glory of God. It was well with their soul. Their eyes were on the eternal God who had saved them by His grace. And we are to look to Him for salvation, but we are to keep looking to Him as we go through life. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Tract was given to a football supporter a number of years ago who was attending, I think it was a Glenavon match down in Lurgan. I don't know how that man reacted to the invitation of the gospel tract, but I know this, he died in the stand. A young man who had been put into the maze for getting up to some mischief. He was loosely attached to our church many years ago, but his grandfather died and they asked me to preach at the funeral. I did so. That young man was allowed out on compassionate leave. I can remember standing up in the graveyard in Ballygan. It was a cold day and the young man stood just a few feet away from me and I preached in John 3:16 and I appealed to those who gather to trust in Christ. He just stood there looking at me glazed with a glazed eye. No response. I was away preaching on that following Sunday, returned home quite late, and I received a telephone call from a very distraught mother. She said, "My son was found hanged in the maze today, committed suicide." And how my heart was heavy for that young man. I used one of the greatest verses in the whole of the Word of God to preach at the graveside, but he hardened his heart. I don't know what happened. But in that dark moment of the soul, he decided to end it all and was ushered out into God's eternity. I buried him on Tuesday. There are no guarantees in this life, but I pray in Jesus' name tonight you'll take heed to this word. Do thy diligence to come to Christ before winter. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. That's the great word of the gospel. Remember the man in the Bible who's described as being full of leprosy in Luke chapter 5. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, "Make me clean." And the Lord, by his gracious power, did that very thing. But he came, you see, he came with a request, "Make me clean." There's an Old Testament ceremony involved in the cleansing of the priests on the day of consecration to the priesthood. A very unusual thing. Interesting, I think. On that day, the blood that had been shed was applied to the tip of the priest's right ear. And then it was applied to the tip of his thumb on the right hand and then it was applied to the large toe on his right foot. And I wondered about that. And then I thought about Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6 that describes the sinner. It describes from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot being full of bruises and putrefying sores. And that speaks of the total depravity of the sinner. And then I thought about this ceremony involving the priests. The blood was applied to the tip of the right ear, thumb, and the large toe. So from head to toe he was cleansed by virtue of the blood. And sinners who are defiled and typified in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah, filled with all bruises and wounds and putrefying sores from the very crown of the head to the sole of the foot. There's no shyness in the sinner, but thank God there's cleansing by virtue of Jesus' blood from head to toe. Hallelujah. And you can know deliverance and cleansing from all your sin and every sin by virtue of that blood. Do thy diligence to come. Come and be cleansed tonight. Lord, make me clean. May that be your prayer. Jesus taught Nicodemus the need of a new birth. In Genesis chapter 3, we have the promise of the Messiah. And the promise was that the Messiah should stem from the seed of Eve. Abel was slain by Cain. The godly seed was about to be terminated, or so the devil thought. How did God remedy this? Through a new birth. Because Eve bore another son and called his name Seth. And this line commenced with a new birth. And the Bible says, then began men to call upon the Lord. Now, I'm not too sure what that means. Maybe as families they gathered together as a group of people, men began to pray. But the point is this. At the time of a new birth, God intervened in history. And at that time, men began to call upon the Lord's name. Saul of Tarsus, he's on the way to destroy the church in Damascus. God intervenes on the Damascus road. He falls in the dust before God. He's dealt with powerfully by the Spirit of grace. And the Bible says he began to pray. The work was wrought of God. And as an evidence, as a proof of the work wrought in the heart, the man began to pray. Oh, I trust tonight you'll experience a new birth and you'll begin to pray. You'll get in touch with God. You'll get your sins forgiven for Jesus' sake. And you'll go from this lovely new church, a new creature, Jesus Christ at the harvest time. Do thy diligence to come to Christ before winter. There's the appeal that is made. There's the advice that Paul gives. He said, do thy diligence to come before winter. And that word diligence simply means to make haste. It has a secondary meaning, to exert oneself or to make the effort. Paul therefore advised Timothy. What was his advice? He said to this young man, hurry up. You know, when us men folk are ready to go out to a meeting, or it is somewhere special. The wife who has been waiting on us for 10 minutes, at the last minute as we're about to leave the house. Oh, I've forgotten this. And many a time us men, patience is tried, we've got to say with a gracious tone in our voice, hurry up. Hurry up. Don't delay. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Don't delay. Hurry up. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I think that this implies that there will come a time when he will not be found. Remember the Song of Solomon. I think it is chapter 5. The Shulamite has retired for the evening. She has washed herself. She's in bed. And then all of a sudden the knock comes to the door. It's the knock of her beloved he wants in. But she says, I'm in bed.
I've washed and I can't come. But then she thought about it and she decided that she would get out of bed and go and open the door. But when she came, the Bible says that my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. He was gone. He had been knocking. But she had been procrastinating. She had been saying no. She had been putting her excuses. And then, when she did decide, she opened the door. Her beloved was gone. The Lord has been knocking upon your heart's door for some considerable time. Do you hear that knock? Do you hear it? He's been calling through death. He's been calling through sickness. He's been calling through circumstances. He's been calling for you. You've come here tonight to hear this message from God. God calls you again. Sinner, can you hear his voice? He's calling you tonight. The scripture also says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And that word strive is an interesting word, for it means to agonize, as one would contend for a prize. We have a lovely picture here, I think. Every city in Bible times, or most cities, had walls and had large gates. They were closed at sunset. But prior to the closing of the gate, maybe some time before the closing of the gate, there would be a man appointed to go and blow the bugle, to sound that bugle as a warning that the gate or the gates were soon to close. Travellers coming maybe from some business trip, on hearing the sound of the trumpet or the bugle, would realise that they only had a certain time to get back to the city if they wanted to get in through the gates before they were closed. So you have a traveller on his way. He hears the bugle. He must get inside the city gates that night for some reason or another. So on hearing that bugle, he says to himself, I must strive to enter in. I must with urgency strive to enter in through the gates of the city before it's too late. I must hurry up. I can't afford to delay if I intend to get in through the gates. I must get in before the gates close. Let's apply this spiritually. You've heard this message preached on numerous occasions. Friends of yours have been saved. God has been gracious to people that you know. Their lives have been changed. And that bugle has sounded. And he's calling tonight. The gate will soon be closed. And it's your responsibility before God to strive to enter in. To get in before the gates close. Lest the door of opportunity cease. And you step over the boundary line. And God withdraw his Holy Spirit from striving with you. By resisting the Holy Ghost, you can commit the unpardonable sin. And you can be certain that your soul will find its way into a Christless eternity. Lost in the darkness forever and ever and ever. Lost in sin. Oh, men and women, can we not impress upon you the urgency of the hour? Timothy had a decision to make. He had to depart from where he was to meet Paul or stay where he was. Remember the challenge that Elijah gave to the people of Mount Carmel. What was that challenge? How long halt ye between two opinions? And that word halt is an interesting word as well. It means tottering. Sometimes the people were on the Lord's side. And sometimes the people were on Baal's side. They were chopping and changing their minds. And God's servant stood up and he sounded the bugle. And he said, now it's decision time. Who was on the Lord's side? I can tell you this. That those who refused were slain. Because the false prophets were taken down to the brook on the command of God's servant, and he says, slay them. But those who cried, the Lord is God, the Lord is God, were a people who showed repentance and were saved, and God was gracious to them. The choice of a moment made the difference. It's life or death, heaven or hell,
But the Bible makes it clear in relation to the story of Elijah. He said to those who carried out the executions, he said, "Let not one escape. Let not one escape." There's no escape. If you refuse God's offer of mercy, if you reject Christ as He's freely offered in the gospel, and He is freely offered in the gospel, and God commands you to repent, the onus is upon you to respond to that. God commands you to repent. You need to come. You must come. God commands you to come. And the people who didn't come when they had the opportunity and the chance, they didn't come at all. And they were taken out and they were judged. Let not one of them escape. A young girl went along to a mission one night. And she didn't really like what the preacher was talking about. So she took the hymn book up. She found the fly leaf, the hymn book. She took out a pen and she wrote down her decision in the fly leaf of the hymn book. The preacher left that area. He came back some time later, and when he met up with one of the men who'd organized the mission, who knew this young woman, he was invited by that man to go to see this young woman who was at that stage quite critically ill. The man tried to reason with her. I tried to reason with a young man one day who was dying with cancer. And he said to me, "I'm in so much pain, I can't even think about these things." Same thing happened to my own aunt who died just a few weeks ago. I pleaded with her at the bedside and she says, "I'm in so much pain, I can't even think about these things." And she died out of Christ. She perished in her sin. Oh, how sad it is to be lost. How sad it is to stand at the side of a dear departing loved one, dying without hope. And the preacher tried to reason, but no, she wasn't having anything of it. And all she would say, "I written my answer in a flyleaf." The preacher went to the hall, he started to look through the hymn books, and he came upon the hymn book, and there in the fly leaf were these words, "I take the chance, I run the risk." In a very short time, she closed her eyes in death and was gone. "I take the chance, I run the risk." The appeal Paul makes, come. The advice Paul gives, do thy diligence to come. And then finally, the argument Paul uses. He said, do thy diligence to come before winter. Why? Because between November and the May time, in those times, the Mediterranean may have been closed to navigation. The journey would then have been too dangerous. Travel would be virtually impossible in those primitive times. So he was actually saying, you better come before winter or you may not be able to come at all. That was the message. That was the word that he was trying to impress upon this young man's mind. There is danger and death and delay. The message is still before winter. The Apostle Paul had some experience. Remember the time when he was going, travelling up to Rome in Acts 27. Remember, the Bible says it, when sailing was dangerous, and in fact he was shipwrecked on the way to Rome. But thankfully, in the providence of God, the Lord stepped in and all those aboard the vessel were saved. But Paul knew what he was writing about. The Word of God says that the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in winter and summer. They therefore make preparation for winter in the appropriate time. And we must make preparation for eternity in the appropriate time. And God's word is now. Now, if these little creatures could become evangelists, what would they advise people to do? they would advise people to prepare for eternity. What would their message be? Prepare to meet thy God. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Do you remember what the captain of the vessel said to Jonah on one occasion? Time when he should have been given leadership on board the vessel, but he was away down on the very sides of the ship. A backslidden preacher. And the captain got a very pertinent word to him. What did he say? What meaneth thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. And tonight in Jesus' name, I say to you, arise, call upon God. Ask him to be gracious to your soul. Plead for his mercy. Why should you do that? Paul said to young Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. Paul was soon to be executed. He wanted to see Timothy. He wanted Timothy to come, or he said death would prevent that meeting taking place. The death angel may be hovering tonight. Who knows? He knows where you live. He knows the street that you live on. If God were to come now, if your life was to be stamped out like that, where would you be forever? Where? Where? In heaven with Christ? Or in hell without him? The conies make their houses in the rocks. They're exposed to many dangers. That small rabbit-like animal exposed to many predators. The bushes, the trees, the ground would be an unsafe place. But what do? They hide in the rocks. They claw their way into the crevices of the rock. These huge boulders stand between them and danger. Top Lady wrote that tremendous hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. He wrote these words after he was caught in a storm, after he had found shelter in a rock during that time of storm. And he applies it spiritually. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Flee to Christ tonight. Get under the blood of the cross. Have your sins forgiven for Jesus' sake. Get under the Rock of Ages. Make him your refuge. Make him your hope for eternity. Flee, sinner, flee. And get right with God. Wesley wrote those wonderful words, Jesus, lover of my soul. When a bird flew in through the window and found safety in his waistcoat. And as a result of that incident, that lovely hymn, Jesus, lover of my soul. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And you're not saved. But thank God Christ on the cross has purchased a full and free salvation. And thank God any man or woman who comes to him tonight can be gloriously saved. Will you come? The Bible tells us about Judas. He left the assembly of the Lord's people. And the Bible says, and he went out. Listen to it. He went out and it was dark. He went out and it was dark. The long, dark winter of eternity had already begun in a sense. Because in a very short time, he had the rope about his neck. He was about to finish it all. And he fell down and his bowels gushed out. And it was dark. And it has been dark. And it will continue to be dark for Judas. To all of God's eternity.
when the Lord came and smote the firstborn of the Egyptians. It was at midnight. It was at dark. Well, thank God, those who believed the word of God and the promise of God were depending on the blood. And God brought them to a new day, a new beginning through the blood of the Lamb. And so when those firstborn of the Egyptians died in the dark, for the young people, for the rest of the people of Israel depending on the blood, God brought them to a new day. And praise God, the Lamb not only had his blood shed, but it was roasted for the people to feed upon as they set out on the journey. Christ was slain to provide salvation for sinners. And in a sense, he was roasted to provide food and sustenance for the journey of life, to feed the people of God on their onward journey to glory. Do thy diligence to come to Christ before winter. Will you come tonight? Will you trust him? Will you receive him? Well, thank God you can. For he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you come to me? Will you trust him? Will you receive? May you do so. May God bless you. In Jesus' name.